Welcome to Community Matters, solutions to local issues and leaders that are making a positive difference. From your encouraging Spirit FM, here's your host, Jay Daniels.
And we thank you so much for letting us be a part of your weekend and for joining us this morning on the program. Maybe it's been a stressful week for you. Maybe you could use some time to relax and unwind. Well, for many of us, the weekend is here. And with it comes another edition of Community Matters. This week, we begin the four-part series, Coming to America, the Struggles and Successes of Resettlement. There are several folks who were involved in helping make this series possible, and I want to personally say thank you to all of those who have been involved with the production of this program. But we're especially grateful to Church World Service in Harrisonburg, Virginia. I'll tell you more about them in just a moment. But as you know, this Monday is July 4th, and we'll celebrate freedom during what is called Independence Day. In fact, numerous naturalization ceremonies will be held, bestowing the honor of citizenship to a number of immigrants. One of those is held at Thomas Jefferson's property in Charlottesville, Monticello. It's an honor cherished by many of us. But there is one special group of immigrants that we call refugees. Today's discussion begins with Jim Hirschberger. Jim is the director of the Harrisonburg Refugee Resettlement Office with Church World Service. He recently shared with me the quote, "All refugees are immigrants, but not all immigrants are refugees." I then asked him, "What sets refugees apart?"
It comes out of U.S. immigration law, which gives many different kinds of visas for people to come to this country. And some of them are immigrant visas, some of them are not immigrant visas. A tourist visa, for instance, if you come here as a tourist from another country, that's not an immigrant visa. You're given maybe 90 days, maybe 180 days. To be here as a tourist, you can come, you can have a legal status here, spend money, see things, and then at some time, usually by 90 days or 180 days, depending what the tourist visa says on that visa in your passport, you need to leave. And if you overstay your visa, then you're out of compliance, sure. Right? You're breaking the law. Or a student visa would be another kind of visa that is not an immigrant visa. You come here to study for a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever your course of study is, and then you need to leave at the end of that time. An immigrant visa, on the other hand, gives you the privilege of coming to this country as an immigrant, which means you're here, you can stay here permanently, right? And you then you're on a path to citizenship. There are many different kinds of immigrant visas too. For instance, you can have an investment immigrant visa where you bring a certain amount of money and create a certain number of jobs, you can get the green card and be on the path of citizenship here. The refugee visa is a special immigrant visa then that is given to people who are at risk of persecution or who have a credible fear, that's the way the law reads, who have a credible fear of persecution because of their religious beliefs, political beliefs, their race, their ethnicity, and so forth. So the U.S. Every year gives a certain amount, 70,000 usually, of those visas to people who have gone through the U.S. vetting process and the background screening, security screening process to be here as refugees. But it's based on that credible fear of persecution that they have.
And with that definition in mind of who refugees are, let's bring in Church World Service, okay, where you've served as director for several years. Right. How long has the organization been in existence?
So Church World Service has existed since right after the Second World War, since 1946, and it started as a consortium, an ecumenical agency made up of now I think it's 33 different Protestant denominations that make up Church World Service. And one of the main things that we do in this country is resettle refugees. And we started doing that in 1946. And here, about 70 years later, almost 70 years later, we're still resettling now about 7,000 refugees a year. In the early years, we resettled a lot more than that. Yeah. But now it's kind of settled out to about 7,000 refugees a year. And it's been that way for maybe 30, 40 years.
And we're at the local office in Harrisonburg, Virginia, The Refugee Resettlement Office here. But Church World Service is not alone in the role that it plays in helping to resettle refugees. There are other organizations in this country, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. The U.S., as I said, resettles, gives about 70,000 refugee visas a year. Of those 70,000, Church Will Service resettles, has a contract with the government and also with the state government of Virginia, Commonwealth of Virginia, to resettle about between 6,000 and 7,000. The other agencies that fill out the rest of that, the Catholic Church, the Episcopal Church, the Lutheran Church, World Relief, which is part of the National Association of Evangelicals. There's a Hebrew Immigrant Society, and all of these groups, there's nine groups actually altogether that resettle refugees, and together they resettle the 70,000 more or less refugees that come to this country. Mm-hmm. Here in Virginia, there are 11 refugee resettlement sites. Church Will Service has two here, and then the rest are run by the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, and the other agencies that I mentioned. I think five of those nine mm-hmm. agencies have resettlement sites here, but there are 11 in all together. There are 230 plus or minus resettlement sites in the country as a whole. So that's where these 70,000 are resettled, in about 230 different communities around and cities around the country.
And what are the services that they provide? I mean, obviously, they're going to differ from one office to another, Jim. But for the most part, what are the core services that these offices provide for these refugees?
Well, the core services, the initial services that we do actually are the same everywhere in each of these different agencies, because we have similar contract with the government. So the core services are, we have to have an apartment ready for them when they come. We get to do these things. I might mention this first. We have about $975 per person, per client that comes. If it's a family of four or six or three, then you know, you do the math, 925 times the number of people that come in each case. But we have to, with that money, we have to have an apartment ready and furnished. So we use a lot of donated furniture to help with those costs. And so when we pick them up at the airport here at the Shenandoah Valley Airport, then we take them straight to the apartment. We have to have it ready and furnished for them, including a hot meal ready for them when they're there, when they come. After that, they have to have a physical exam at the health department, in which the health department ensures that they have all the vaccinations, and they do a basic physical exam for them. As immigrants, they have work authorization, but in order to work here, you have to have a Social Security number. So we apply for the Social Security card within a few days. If they have children, we register the children in the public schools. If there are other kinds of needs that they have, then we try to work with them on that. But the essential thing is housing, employment. Once they have their Social Security card, we work really diligently. Most of our clients who are employable, you know, between the, you know, that they're not children or retired people, very few retired people, but if those of employable age, usually they have jobs. The majority, over 75%, have jobs within 90 days, you know, and then they can be paying, then they have to pay their own rent and so forth.
And there is one question I don't believe I had asked that may help to answer a couple of questions here. You mentioned that there are funds allocated for these refugees,
right. Mm-hmm.
Money is available.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two questions with regard to that. Number one, how does Church World Service find these people? Is there a referral involved? And also, where does the funding come from that helps to resettle these refugees?
Well, the funding comes from the federal government. The state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, also gives some money to pay staff on the employment side and on the English learning side. I didn't mention the English learning side, but we also have staff that help them organize everything from tutors to organize their registration into local English language learning programs, of which we have several really good ones here in this area, from volunteers who teach, through Skyline Literacy, through James Madison University, Eastern Mennonite University, and Blue Ridge Community College, Massanutten Technical Center, and so forth, on terms of the English language. The money comes through the federal government, so it's federal funds, it's taxpayer money. You know, one of the reasons we work really hard on employment is so that people can not only pay their own immediate costs, pick up their rent and utility bills and so forth, but also that immediately puts them into a tax-paying, you know, they immediately begin paying that money back then once they're here.
the people that come to see you, I would assume there are different ethnic groups
right.
that come through these doors. It's not just particularly, you know, we're working with one country
right.
to help resettle them.
Yeah.
These are people from
right.
all around the world yeah. coming to help be helped, correct?
Yeah. We don't resettle all the refugees that are representative in refugee populations around the world. We don't choose people who come here in the sense of we go somewhere to some country. It's not like I go over, you know, to the Congo, say, and pick out people and say, I want you to come to Harrisonburg. That's not how it
right.
works. So there's a whole screening process that usually starts with the United Nations. And then if the United Nations declares them refugees, and if their people from a certain ethnic group or a refugee camp that the United States has said we will make them eligible, or we will process them and have them go through the screening process and so forth. So that's the process. You know, they're if the UN says they're refugees, and if the US government has said we will take refugees from this particular ethnicity or nation, then they can be referred to the UN processing, to the United States government processing system, which usually takes several years to do. Background screening checks, security screening checks, and so forth. The FBI, the CIA, Department of Homeland Security, Department of State, they all have their screening checks that they do with refugees who come. So how a person ends here is simply that, in the first, number one, if they have friends that they know, if they're from a certain refugee camp, then sometimes, you know, people are friends. And so we've had people, we've resettled Congolese, for instance, here, who are coming from the same refugee camp, and they have friends who are here, and so they have said they want to be where their friends are. So that's one way they come. They have family mm-hmm. or friends, right? The second way they come is if they don't have any family or friends or ties here, U.S. ties here, then they would be randomly assigned. As I said before, there are nine different agencies, and so the agencies, every week the agencies get together with the list of people who have been approved that the U.S. State Department gives, and they will decide then, you know, if somebody has a friend in Harrisonburg, then they will come here because we're the only resettlement agency here in Harrisonburg. If it's a bigger city like Atlanta, Georgia, I think there's five or six refugee offices in Atlanta, Georgia, then those agencies will decide which one is resettled in Atlanta based on their numbers and arrival numbers and so forth. The other thing to say is that each office, and in this case in our office, we've developed a certain expertise. For instance, over the years, we have resettled people from the Congo, from Somalia, and there are people in this community from those countries. And so we have volunteers who are willing to interpret for new arrivals. We're able to hire staff who speak those languages, who are from the Congo, who are from Iraq, and the other places that we've resettled from. So so we have to develop an expertise and some capacity for helping people in terms of their language, so that we speak their language, and that they can come here and have interpretation services. And so, because immediately, you know, people don't learn English the first day after arrival. It takes some time to do that. But upon arrival, things have to be, you know, they have to have interpretation and so forth. So we resettle people based on the capacity that we have in this office.
Jim Hirschberger, director of the Harrisonburg Refugee Resettlement Office with Church World Service. Today, we've looked at the background of who is a refugee. And we've also talked about the process of refugee resettlement in this country. Next week, join us for the second installment of this four-part series, Coming to America, The Struggles and Successes of Resettlement. Jim Hirschberger and I will look at some of the families that have left their homes, their jobs, and even their former lives, all in the search for freedom in a new land. That's coming up next week on Community Matters. Join us if you would. Until next time, friends, I'm Jay Daniels, encouraging you to remember why we celebrate this special Independence Day on July 4th. Remember just how very blessed all of us are to call this country home.